Hi guys, it's been a few weeks since my last post and I realised that I've been avoiding it for several reasons. It's just been a crazy, crazy few weeks and it just seemed like another one of those things that I had to cross off my list of things to do and it just didn't seem like the right time. The last post I recorded got deleted before I could publish it, so I kind of saw it as a bit of a sign from the universe, you know, take a break. And the truth of the matter is I've been so overwhelmed by the changes that have been occurring and I'm just like, wow. I don't even know where to start. What I will say though is that I have been conducting little experiments with myself, and these are the kind of experiments that are all about that spiritual desire to just stay in the now. To put your intention out there for the highest good of all, to focus on what you want, to let go of the past, which is a big, big deal for me, and to manifest what you want for the future. And it sounds simple enough, you know, the amount of spiritual books all about, you know, stay in the present and, you know, focus on what you want and let go of the past. And I mean, they're all essentially saying the same thing, right? But humans being humans, you know, we want security. We want to know that it's all going to be okay. You know, there's that place of trust that says it's all going to be okay, but you want it to be okay now. You don't want to be sitting in the storm with someone going, it's okay, but you're drowning, right? So, you know, it's like I've got this image right now of being in the deep end of a pool. You know, there are four sides. There's someone over on the other side watching, saying, look, you can swim. You've got the skills. I'm here to help you. And you can't touch the bottom, even though you know there's a bottom. And you can't seem to get to the sides, even though you know there's the sides. And you keep panicking and you keep flailing and splashing around and going, oh my God, is this it? Is, you know, so even if the rational mind says you're okay, there's nothing to really worry about because you're going to be, no one's going to let you drown. That feeling of drowning is real and you can't deny that. And it breaks my heart when people say things like, you know, just let it go. It's not important, because it invalidates those feelings. And it means that what we fear is essentially an illusion. And of course, on the bigger, more spiritual side of things, of course it is an illusion. And we have to transcend and see past that illusion. As someone who has been on this spiritual journey for a little while now, you know, on and off and on and off, and I definitely don't declare myself to be an expert. It is a daily moment by moment practice. And as somebody who has anxiety, and I seem to keep referring to myself in the third person, but it helps sometimes to do that for me because it does allow me to step outside my own neuroses. As someone who has anxiety and is always so worried, you know, am I doing the right thing? How is this going to impact other people? Did I might make the right choice? Did I make the wrong choice? Did I upset somebody? Oh, I made the right choice. That's great. But what if it's not going to stay that way? And this is the crazy thing about the mind. Even when you get what you want, you start fearing that you're going to lose it. And so it has been the craziest few weeks. I think the last time I recorded my podcast, and I don't actually listen to them again. I sometimes listen to them once straight afterwards and kind of just, you know, leave it out on the interwebs for, you know, anyone to listen to. And I'm very grateful to anyone who is listening to it. As I've always said, these recordings are for my children, for my two beautiful kids who at some point will have to continue on life without me, but hopefully when, and I'm going to getting teary, but hopefully when they think, oh, I miss my mom and I just want to hear her and provide me with some reassurance, because we all need that. We all, no matter how old we are, we need that voice of love, logic, compassion, kindness to say, it's okay and I will help you and I love you. So even if I can't physically be there to help my babies, no matter how old they are, hopefully I will be able to help them. And this is always my intention for these recordings. Anyway, stop crying. It's been a teary day. It's been one of those days when I've just been getting very, very teary. And I'm talking in circles here, so I'll start from the beginning. A few weeks ago, I was having some issues at work, and the universe had been sending nudges for a while that maybe it was a time to finish up with this role. And I'd been working in my role for about 6.5 years, and it's been good, but things have changed, and they're just little signs from the universe that it's just not a good fit anymore. But the benefits from a work balance life perspective when you have small children have been very, very good, and I guess I was just too afraid to let that go. And then something happened and I was like, oh crap, this is not good. And then something else happened and I was like, crap, this is definitely not good. Because initially I was thinking to myself, maybe it's not the role, maybe I just need to move within the business. And then after that second thing happened, I was like, no, this is a sign I need to go elsewhere. And so I did what most people do, which is start to panic. So part of me was like, just trust in the process. It's okay. You'll be fine. Don't just apply for jobs willy-nilly, you know, desperately scrambling around to get out. And then the other part of me was like, well, I've got all this pent-up energy. Unless I do something productive and action-based, I'm going to lose that. Because there's something quite powerful when it comes to people who are angry and anxious. There's a huge amount of nervous energy that can be utilized sometimes for good and sometimes for destruction. And in my case, I was like, well, you know, I might as well just apply for all these jobs, blah, 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 blah. And my husband was like, just calm down. You know, there's no rush. No one's firing you. Just calm down. And, you know, one of the worst things you can ever tell someone who is in a mild panic, just calm down. I mean, you know, it can help. But I think what's more important, and I'm not saying that he approached this the wrong way, he's actually been really good. But one of the worst things you can do to say to somebody who is drowning, calm down. One of the best things for you to do is to say, I am here for you. I will help you. And in through that reassurance, people naturally start to calm down. I can help you, or can I help you, or can I help take this load? Can I help in any way, shape, or form? Even if the help is, I acknowledge how you're feeling. Now, if somebody's in a pool and drowning, standing by the side of the pool going, I acknowledge that you're drowning, I'm here to help, you know, the most logical thing would be just to get in the pool with them and help them out. You don't even need to ask. You can see that. You can see they need help. Don't be afraid to help people who are drowning. And the interesting thing about people who are drowning, it's that drowning is often not the way Hollywood depicts it, where people are flailing and flashing, like thrashing around. Often people who drown, I think it's referred to as silent drowning. People basically, they just sort of end up by themselves in the wrong area of water. Now, I'm not a lifeguard and I'm not an expert. I'm just going based on my very small amount of knowledge of drowning. I mean, hey, I'm a parent of young children. What I do know is that young children can, especially toddlers, can drown in, like, you know, an inch of water. But what happens is that it's often not a case of people thrashing around. And lifeguards are specially trained to identify people who are drowning. So the question is how to identify someone who is metaphorically drowning, who is incredibly anxious, because anxiety can manifest in ways where, so in my case in the workplace, people are like, oh, you're always so calm. I'm actually not calm. I'm actually very anxious. And when I become very anxious, especially in the workplace, I often get very withdrawn and inward to myself, very quiet and very small. It is very much a protection mechanism. At home, with my family and in my relationships, if I get very anxious, I'm all business. Okay, you know, I suddenly pick up the baton and you do this, you do this, and I essentially become like a drill sergeant, and I'm desperately sitting there trying to control the situation by saying this, and I find it very hard to release that control, because releasing that control means that you have to trust that somebody's going to help you. And the same thing with getting very small and inward on yourself, releasing that and opening myself up and opening my arms physically and metaphorically to the help of the universe in whatever shape or form that comes. Again, that involves a huge amount of trust. And a lot of people with anxiety have huge trust issues, going back to times when you're very little and you wanted the people, often usually your parents, to be there to help you when you needed it most, and they just weren't there. And it's not about blaming them, because they were just doing the best they can, but it's about recognizing that as an adult there are other avenues for help. You can trust yourself to help yourself, and you can also trust the universe to send help, and often that help arrives in ways that you weren't expecting it. So if I go back to my work issue, and somebody, a good colleague and a good friend of mine, sent me a copy of a resume that I could use as the basis for my own resume. And this was probably one of the best resumes I'd ever seen. And it had been proofread by a recruitment manager. And I had lots of resumes in the past. And I know that a good resume is the difference between you getting that first foot in the door. Because, you know, organizations receive dozens, if not hundreds, of applicants. And that resume, and if it's written well, will be that foot in the door that you need. And I was like, yep, great. Took what I needed, adjusted it to my own skill set, didn't lie, didn't embellish, didn't do anything but tell the absolute truth. What I did do, though, was that the wording was really, really good. And I was like, this is amazing. Super, super professional, and by far the best resume I've ever done in my life. So I sent it out, and very, very quickly I'd had organizations contact me. And the interesting thing is, these organizations were offering roles far exceeding any kind of salary package I'd ever even considered in the past. Some of these jobs I would have been like, ha, as if I would ever be able to apply for a job in that kind of price, with that sort of salary package. I just genuinely didn't believe that I had the skills, knowledge, or requirements to fulfill those kind of roles. And it was a moment where I had to really stretch myself. But I was so in such a panic. I'm like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to apply for these roles anyway. What's the harm? Thinking, no way am I ever going to be suitable for these kind of roles. Well, surprise, surprise, the universe delivers when you just let go of the process. And within a couple of weeks, I'd had some amazing interviews, and within the last 10 days I had a phone interview, 2 face-to-face interviews, and a job offer. And this role was for significantly more than I had ever earned in the past. Now I'm going to take a step back and just let you know that before I interviewed for this role face-to-face, I was so anxious, and the interview was in the afternoon, that I nearly cancelled. I was almost sick with nerves. And I think it was because I genuinely believed that I would screw up. And I genuinely, there seems so much mental pressure to succeed and to do well. And then I'm like, there's no way. And my whole body was just sweating. The interview wasn't until the afternoon. And somebody who was quite sensitive to smell, I could smell, it's not even just the smell of sweat. I could smell almost those pheromones of anxiety coming off me. That being said, I managed to pull myself together, clean myself up, get into the interview. They wanted me to come back for a second interview within like 2 days. It was 3 days because it was a public holiday on the Monday. And by the afternoon, they'd offered me this position. The whole thing had happened within about a week and a half. Now, anyone who has ever looked for a job before knows that generally these processes can take months, weeks, days, but I mean, not usually days, but that's my point, right? It usually takes weeks or months to get to that point. There's this process of, you know, vetting and making phone calls and playing phone tag and chasing people up. Really, really interesting that this process was so fast. And what is not only interesting is that there was no roadblocks. The universe, it was almost like that quintessential unfolding where things were just falling in line. And the only roadblock was myself, where I just could not believe that I was in this point where I was at the final stage of being interviewed and then receiving a job offer within a few hours later, because they'd said to me, look, I will get back to you in the next couple of days. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. They offered me the role within a few hours. It was amazing. I was forced to stretch myself in ways that I couldn't believe. I've heard this said to me quite a lot recently. You've really got to get outside that comfort zone. You've really got to stretch yourself to those limits where you feel uncomfortable to be able to grow, because growth is uncomfortable. No one grows in that state of comfort. In a perpetual state of comfort, there's no change, there's no growth. So you've got to be able to reach for places that you've never reached before to be able to sort of hit those levels of growth that the body requires, the mind and the soul requires. And so I had to push myself mentally to get past this barrier, because I just genuinely didn't believe that I had it in me to be able to attract these kind of roles and so quickly as well. But again, it was just the way that it all unfolded. It was just so seamless that I'm just like, well, it's meant to be. And I'm not stupid enough to think that it's all just going to be sunshine and rainbows and there's going to be nothing that goes wrong. But I can say with my hands on my heart, it's done. Not only is it done, I had been stressing for weeks, even before I'd even started looking for jobs, in terms of how I was going to resign from my current position. That was a huge piece for me when it came down to stress. And when I was offered the role yesterday afternoon, I was like, screw it. I'm just going to pull my boss aside and say I'm resigning. So I did. And she was fine. She wasn't even a roadblock in herself, you know, nothing. It was perfectly fine. I mean, I knew for a fact that she wasn't sad for me to leave. It was just a case where she, you know, it was just more work on her part to find a replacement. So it was just really interesting. And I guess the only thing I want to come back to about what to question, you know, when I come back to, you know, this whole idea of what to do when life gets tough, you just ask the universe for help, because the universe will always help. And it's very easy for me to say that when I understand that I've just been offered an amazing new position, and a lot of people out there have been you know, struggling financially, looking for work, feeling very down, you know, I can't say that I can speak for everybody's life experience. But what I will say is that you really have to, it sounds so corny, you really have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe that there are forces outside of yourself that are there to help you, you know. When we're children, we look to our parents, especially our mothers, with that sense of trust that says, you are going to help me. And if we have a good relationship with our parents, they're going to be the ones who help us and comfort us and nourish us and provide us with our needs when we can't provide for ourselves. And as we get older, we can do more things for ourselves, but we still need the help. And this is the case here, you know, I could do more things for myself, I still needed the help. I still needed, you know, my friend to offer a copy of her resume as a template. And I still needed help in the sense that I had amazing referees from my old boss and my colleague who acted as beautiful advocates for me, because I couldn't have got this job without good references. You know, without the experience of my current role working, you know, in my job for as long as I have, going to these interviews and saying, yes, I've now got these skills and I can answer your questions and, you know, give me an example of a time when blah, 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 and I can go, well, here's my example. And I'm drawing on real examples and saying, this is what I did. You know, you do the absolute best you can, but also believe that you're not alone. And that people are there to help you. The universe is there to help you. The universe will send the resources and the people required to get you to where you want and need to be. And that takes a lot of trust. So wherever you are in your world today, oh, and there's this little baby crying. He doesn't want to go into the car seat. So I'm listening to this baby cry. So wherever you are in the world today, I hope you have a blessed day. Peace be with you.